And Saints, what is the title of today's message? God specializes in Plan B. That's right. And Pastor Toby started us off last week with, her title was, I Failed, Now What? And Pastor Rick is going to finish us off next week with, What Is Left? And our goal is, because we realize that a lot of us right now are taking some hard knocks. Some of us are really getting some kicks in our lives, our marriages, and our families. And, you know, when life knocks us down, we need to really regroup and remember what God's plan is for our lives. So, Saints, let's take a moment to pray. God of the universe, God who created the heavens and the earth, God who looked upon this earth and looked at each and every person and said, I have formed you and I have called you by name, Lord, we thank you. We thank you for taking the time to plan all of this out, Lord. We thank you for taking the time to plan out every moment, every second, every day, every year, Lord. And even though we can't see all of the big picture, Lord, we know that you can see the picture, Lord. So we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for this day. We ask you to open our eyes, open our hearts, Lord, and our ears. And it's in the name of Jesus Christ that we pray. And the people of God said, amen and amen. Praise God, saints. And I should have prayed for Vicki Grimm. She was having an asthma attack. So I apologize if you all saw me running around here. But we'll pray for her at the end of the service. She was having a really bad asthma attack. But we're going to keep pressing on. Talking about God's plan. Saints, today is what? Pentecost Sunday, and it's also Sunday. Now, every one of us know that Sunday comes every week, right? And all of us plan on being here at church every Sunday, right? So I don't know about you, but every Saturday night, I know I'm coming to church on Sunday morning. It's a rare occasion for me not to be in church. So I plan every Saturday night what needs to be done on Sunday to make Sunday a little easier, right? Anybody like that? We got our checklist. We get the kids' clothes out. We say, check, got that done. We pick out what we're going to wear. Check, got that done. Make sure the hair is what we want it to be. Check, got that. I'll set the alarm clock so that it'll be buzzed a couple hours, because most of us try to get up a little early. I know I set my alarm clock early enough so I can hit the snooze about 5 times. But we set that alarm clock, and we say, check, and we get our plans together. We set everything by the front door. Anybody like that? You set your shoes, your purse, everything you need, your car keys. Everything should be perfect, ready to go Sunday morning. No problems, because that is the perfect plan. Sunday comes every week, just like we know it's coming. So we got to get everything ready to go. But guess what happens every Sunday morning? No matter how much we prepare, something will go wrong every Sunday morning, without a doubt. Something will go wrong that will mess up the plan. Amen? And we make these plans all the time. We do this at work. All of us know Monday morning is coming tomorrow morning. So we're going to get ready to go to work on Monday morning, or we're getting ready to go to school on Monday morning. We do the same thing. We get everything ready. Guess what happens Monday morning? Something goes wrong. So we make these plans for our day, but we also make plans for our future, right? Remember when you was little, did somebody ask you what you wanted to be when you grew up? Some of us wanted to be doctors, lawyers, nurses. Some of us wanted to be a super astronaut. But we set out on a plan. We had a plan. We knew that we were going to get the best job, we were going to find the best husband or the best wife, and they were going to be cute. We were going to get the cutest looking guy or the cutest looking girl, because we were going to have the cutest babies that we could have. We were going to have the best house, the best car, and we were going to be so happy. That was the plan. All of us plan to have a good financial future, right? We just knew we was going to have that job to make all that good money. We were going to have no debt. We were going to put some money into the ties. We were going to have a savings account and a retirement fund. That was the plan, right? Well, when we look at our lives, what happened to the plan? Seems like everything under the sun can go wrong. And life knocks us down, and that plan goes right down the drain with it. You know, all of us have a plan. And when I was thinking about going to work on Monday morning, so many of us get up to go to work on Monday morning. And we have done everything right. And everything goes right. We get to work on time. We get there early. We're doing everything we're supposed to be doing. We got that computer work done, the paperwork done. Supervisor walks in and says, such and such didn't come today. That means you got to do her work and your work. And you got to do some mandatory overtime. You're thinking, wait a second. That's not a part of my plan. That is not a part of the plan. And then sometimes there are some folks in our lives that promise to do stuff with or for us, and they don't follow through, so that messes up the plan. But every time, it's just those little things that bother us that mess up the plan. Who was looking for a comb this morning, or a shoe, or a brush? You just couldn't find that one little thing. You need to come find your car keys. It messed up the plan. It is guaranteed that somebody's alarm clock didn't go off today. Messed up your whole morning. Even though you all get up at 11 o'clock, it still didn't go off for you. Or somebody who got that last minute phone call on your way to church. Now, they know every Sunday you go to church, you got that last minute phone call asking you to do something. Skirted your plan and messed you up. So we get messed up in our daily plan when we're just trying to do our day-to-day activities. And we also get messed up in our future plans. You know, we remember those dreams we had when we were kids. We wanted that perfect house, that perfect relationship, that perfect everything. And we sometimes look around and say, oh, this is not quite what I planned it to be. It's not quite what I planned. So what happens, saints, when we look at our plans and they're not the way we want them to be? What happens? How do we react? How do we respond? Some of us, saints, we have different reactions, and some of us get so frustrated. We get so angry. We get so mad, and we think, you know what? Why bother? Why bother doing anything at all? Because every time we plan something out, it just falls apart. Some of us like our plans so much, and our plans are so good that we don't want to let them go. I know I'm like that. If I write a good plan, I'm like, I don't care what anybody else in the room is doing. This is the plan, and we're going to stick to it. It's kind of like being at a house with a door, and I'm trying to get this door open because this is the door of perfection, you guys. You know, I have this thought in my mind that God wants me to have a perfect life. Anybody got that same thought? God does not want me to suffer. He does not want me to have pain. He does not want anything to go wrong in my day. So I'm standing at this door of perfection. I'm just pulling it. Let me in, door of perfection. I want to come in this house because I don't really like this house over here. So we stand there. That's our response. We just keep trying for this plan. We keep going after this plan, even though we can tell the door is not open. So some of us see, the door doesn't open. And we remember that nice statement that says, when God doesn't open the door, he opens the window, right? So we look around, we're trying to go through the window because we want to get in that plan. The window doesn't open. Try to go through the chimney. Some just let me in on this house. But it does not work. But we stand there anyway. This is the plan that I had for my life. And even though God has another plan, we fail to turn around and go in the different direction. So we're going to say to our neighbors, neighbor, lift up your head. Because God's got another plan. Saints, God specializes in plan B. You see, my friends, as good as our plans are, every time we go and we get our little nice list of plans and we have it all mapped out, as good as our plans are, God always has a better plan. Always has a better plan. Even our best plan cannot compete with God's plan for our lives. Cannot touch it, amen? You know, saints, let's read this scripture from the book of Isaiah. It says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. So no matter how much we plan and no matter how much we think we are getting it right, scripture tells us that God's thoughts are not our thoughts. Even our good thoughts are not God's good thoughts. Especially our bad thoughts are not by God's thoughts, but no matter how much we try to get it together in our head, never are our thoughts God's thoughts. And our ways are not God's ways. You see, because we set out on a plan, we got the journey, we got the goals, the dreams, the desires, but they are still not God's ways. He says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. God's thoughts and God's plans are so much bigger than we can even think or understand. He said, there are many of us right now, see, we're planning to become the next great something. We're planning to be the next great writer. Any book writers in here? We're planning to be the next great movie star. Or some of us are planning to be the next Mega Million winner in the lottery. Some of us are planning to be singers and dancers, actors and cooks. Some of us don't even have that big of a loft. We just are planning our dinner right now while we're sitting here. What are we going to eat tonight? We're planning how we're going to get to work. We're planning on that homework assignment or whatever the daily tasks are. We are planning our day out, our lives out. But saints, guess what? Our plan is never what God is planning. You see, God's plan is always focused on three things. One, eternity. Two, the plan of salvation for all of humanity. And three, destroying Satan and Satan's demons. When we look at that big picture, how does that add up when we're planning our meals or planning our educations or planning our jobs or planning our finances, planning what we will wear when God is focused on eternity and God is focused on our salvation and God is focused on destroying Satan? How does our plan add up with God's plan? Saints, have you ever thought about it that, and it's a fact, saints, that every single day of our lives is known by God. God has a plan for every single day. Let me prove it to you. Read this with me in Psalm chapter 139, verse 13. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. Continue to read Psalm 139:16. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. There's another one, and it's not on your sheet, but many of you know it by heart from Jeremiah 29. It's our favorite. For I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. Wow. So since that very first moment when God decided to create you and me, when God knit us together, I mean, this is a knitting process, right? When God knit us together, and even that one little point is special because it's this book that I love to read. It's called God Thinks You're Wonderful. And in that book, it says, you are not mass-produced. You are not an assembly line product. You were specifically and specially made and designed and put on this earth by the master craftsman. You cannot find another you on this planet. So let's look at that scripture deeper. He knitted us. He designed us. He uniquely made us. And then he said all the days of our lives were written in his book before one of them came to be. So that means before we even breathed on this earth, before one day came to be, God knew the plan. God knew the plan. Now I know some of us are sitting there thinking, wow, God knew every moment of my life, the good, the bad, and the ugly. He knew every little second, all that stuff that we think don't nobody know about. God knew it was going to happen before I even took my first breath. And even deeper, I know you might be sitting there thinking about all those hurts, all of those pains, All those times when life knocked you down and the frustration and the diagnoses and the illnesses and the losses and the deaths and the destruction. And you thought, wow, God knew that all of those days, even the bad days, were going to occur. We want to go back to that door. Let me in the perfect. Let me in the perfect, because it's hard to grasp that God even knew about the hard days, saints. How can we trust in God and understand this God when we hear that part of the scripture that says, He planned to give me a hope and a future. He planned to prosper me and not to harm me. How can we understand this God, saints, that knew every day of our lives? We can think about that time that He knew that He was going to go upon a cross. And He knew that He was going to carry that cross up the hill. And He knew He was going to be spit upon and died and crucified. He knew all of those things was going to happen before one thing happened. He knows every second, every minute, every hour. And sometimes that can just make your head spin, your mind spin. Why is God's plan so hard some days? Some of us think, I don't like God's plan. God, what kind of plan is this? I can give you another better plan. How can we trust this God when all these horrible things are happening in this world? But remember, saints, that this plan, this world that we are living in, this place of suffering and hardship, was never God's A plan. This is not God's A plan. God's A plan was back in the garden. Remember that story? God's A plan was when there was no disease and no famine and no war and no suffering and no hardship. God's A plan was always in eternity. But thank God that God specializes in plan B. God specializes in plan B, saints, because this plan B is all that God thinks about. All God thinks about is bringing us into eternity. All God thinks about is salvation for all of us. All God thinks about is destroying Satan, Satan's enemies, Satan's demons, saints. That's all God thinks about. But we can't see that bigger plan because we get so focused on what we think is the right plan for our lives. We wonder, how exactly is God's plan working? How is this stuff going to all turn out, saints? Well, my answer today is through the church. Through the church. You all don't seem happy about that. What kind of plan is that, you might be wondering? Today is the birthday of God's entire church. God's entire church. And we celebrate Pentecost Sunday, the birth of a new church, saints. The church, not just Glenville New Life, not just the church next door, all of the churches in the world, Mexico, China, Israel, everywhere there is a church that calls itself Christian. What kind of plan was God having when He sat back with those 12 disciples and those women? And they were all gathered in that room. And these disciples were given the task of building the church. They had to have a plan. How are we going to build a church, saints? What if we had that same job? Go build a church, y'all here. Us, you know, 100 or so, we had to build a church. But let me tell you what we don't have. We don't have these fancy microphones. We don't have this fancy light system. We don't have a pulpit. We don't even have a building. We got to go out to the furthest desert that we can find. And we had to figure out how to spread the gospel message. Can you imagine what these disciples and these women were going through? You see, they just couldn't hop on the internet and create a page, a website, push that button and spread the message out to the world. They just had a few of them gathered together. They didn't even have a typewriter. They had some scrolls. They had some scrolls. Scripture written on those scrolls. And the scrolls were pretty delicate. So how are we going to share these scrolls with the entire world? What kind of plan did God have with these 12 disciples and this group of women, saints? that he was going to take this small group of people and build an entire worldwide church. What kind of plan is that, Saint? Can you imagine the disciples? You know, if I had been there, I'd have been like, you know, come on, John, you read this scroll right here, and Debbie, you sing a song. you know, Marvin, you say a couple prayers, so we're going to figure something out. But the disciples didn't have they had a little bit of a plan, but they didn't understand God's bigger plan. Let me tell you what their plan was, because we can tell from the scripture reading that the disciples knew they had to get together. They could not do this apart. So all of them gathered together. And they knew that they had to do this 7 weeks after the resurrection. So here's their plan. We got a group of folks. We're going to gather together 7 weeks or 50 days after the resurrection. Now, we don't know what's going to happen thereafter, but we all get together. They might have put their best efforts forward and say, okay, Peter, you do this, or John, you do this, Mary, you do that, and try to put together a plan. But the disciples did not understand that God had another plan that they could not see, they could not imagine, they just didn't understand God's plan. So what is God's B plan? I already told you the church was a part of the plan. And if you remember a couple sermons ago, I told you the church is not a building, it is what? People. You all are doing good. So the church, God's people, and God working through God's people, through the Holy Spirit, is God's plan B. Two parts. Us, the Holy Spirit. Two parts to that plan. But you see, saints, because we don't see and we can't understand, we're like the disciples. We don't really understand how the Holy Spirit works in our lives. We can't see the Holy Spirit. We can't hear the Holy Spirit. So how is this supposed to work to build the church? Let's see, we find in Ephesians, God's plan is always better than any plan we can ever think of. Read Ephesians chapter 3:20 with me. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power at work within us. Key words, his power at work within. You got it. What is the power? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. You see, our take-home lesson today from the disciples is that they had a plan. They may have said, Peter, you learn French, John, you learn Spanish, but we're going to get a plan, we're going to figure this out, a way to talk to these people, we're going to do something. But that plan was not the real plan that God had in store for them. They knew they had to all gather together in one place. They knew they had to be there on that particular day of Pentecost Sunday. But they just couldn't imagine what was going to happen next. So here they are. They're all gathered. And they're all trying to figure out, what are we going to do? How are we going to do this? And then suddenly a sound like a violent wind came from the heavens and filled the whole house where they were sitting, scripture tells us. And that they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated them and came to rest on each and every one of them. And all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. Not just some of them, all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. Not one of those disciples, not one of those women gathered that day could have imagined that God was going to perform that mighty miracle in their midst and bring in the Holy Spirit. They never imagined that it would later be reported in Acts chapter 2 that they ended up speaking to over 3,000 people. How did they do that? No microphones, no special cameras, no nothing, no sound system, nothing. And they spoke to over 3,000 people, and each of those 3,000 people heard them in their own language. Their own language. And those 3,000 people on that day that day gave their hearts to Christ, and they were all baptized. Can you imagine with that baptism? They were just on the water, just baptizing. They were just baptizing 3,000 people. That was one day. Now, can you think back to the disciples and the women? Could they have imagined that from that one day, from all of their days and days of sacrifice and everything, all their work, that God would eventually grow the church to be worldwide? Worldwide, saints. The Holy Spirit working through this small group of men and women transformed the church forever. Transformed the church forever. But saints, you know what? We still don't understand how the Holy Spirit works. You see, we understand a lot about Creator, Father. We get that. We understand a lot about Jesus, the sacrifice, the Son. But then we miss the third part of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, the power. The power. Say to your neighbor, neighbor, do you want to learn more about the Holy Spirit? Come on out to Life Sharing this week. Tuesday, 5 o'clock, as Billy said, or Wednesday, 7:30. This is the key part that many of us are missing. We are missing our power. We are missing our power. We are trying to make plans without being connected to the power, saints. We need to learn more about the Holy Spirit. Because it's the Holy Spirit and us together that are a huge part of God's plan of salvation. But saints, we must sit there wondering, how can I be worried about this big plan of salvation when I'm just trying to figure out how to cook dinner tonight? How can I worry about the plan of salvation when I just want to get home in time to see the game? Would you hurry up, Pastor Kelly? Move on. How can I worry about this big plan of salvation when I'm trying to figure out how to graduate on time? When I'm trying to figure out how to pay the bills, get my car fixed, catch the bus next week, I need a bus pass. How can I worry about this big plan of salvation when I have plans of my own here? Well, saints, it is time for us to begin to align our plans with God's plan. Our plans with God's plan. When we realize and we know that every plan that we make, even the smallest, simplest plan, is a part of God's plan for eternity. So you see, saints, when you make that quick run to the grocery store, that simple run over to the auto parts store, it's not just a simple plan. It's a part of God's bigger plan of salvation. How many of us been to the grocery store or out the gas station or something, and you see that person that really needs some help, and you stop to help? You've been out and about in your day, and you think you had a plan, and God detours you because your friend has a need, and you're able to stop and help them out. Or somebody, and it's real important, somebody is just at that pivotal moment of trying to discover about Christ, and God used you to be the one to witness to them. See, all of our simple plans, our little plans, are part of God's bigger plan of salvation. It's time for us to get our plans in line with God's plan, saints. What would it look like if every plan that we made in our lives, we took it to God first? And when we got up, you say, Lord, I plan on stepping out this bed right now. Is that good with you? Lord, I plan on making my bed. Is that all right? Lord, I plan on going to fix me some raisin bread. Is that a good part of your plan? See, that may seem simple, but when you keep doing that, you get into deeper issues. You say, Lord, I just feel like yelling at my wife tonight right now. I plan on yelling at her right now. Changes what you might say, because the Lord might say, no, that's not part of the plan of salvation. That's not going to work today. When you say, Lord, I plan on yelling at my kids because they were getting on my nerves, and the Lord can say, no, that's not part of the plan. It's not part of the plan. You can say, you know, Lord, I feel like just cheating on my spouse today. That's part of my plan. Say, no, Kelly, that's not part of the plan. It's not going to work today. But if sometimes we would just take the moment to speak aloud our plan, and we just set it out loud. We can see how silly it might really sound. And we can just speak our plan out loud, whether that's directly to God. Or maybe you need to come to, like, our spiritual transformation class and get an accountability person that you can say, hey, does this plan sound good to you? Does this plan to sell drugs sound good to you? Does this plan to, you know, drink this bottle of alcohol sound good to you? Does this plan to not get along with anybody on my job, does it sound real good to you? You know, just saying that out loud would change a lot of our plans. Help us get in line with God. You know, I love those stories that we all hear about the people that kill their children and say, the Lord gave me a plan. He put that vision in my head. I had a plan to kill my kids. And I just think, if you just had said that out loud, said it to somebody else, you know, I feel like I'm getting this vision from the Lord. And what do you think about it? Any person could answer you back, you know, no, that don't sound part of God's plan. That's not good. That's not a good plan. But we need to seek out some godly advice some days, every day, about our plans and if they're in line with God's plans, because that would save us a whole lot of heartache. If we would just put our plans in line with God. If when we made our daily plans, we would look in this book of the Word and say, does my plan line up with what's in this Word? If we would just take the time to think about the whole prophetic message of Christ and say, does my plan line up for eternity? Does my plan? Now, saints, I know some of you are sitting there thinking, oh, that's kind of weird, Pastor Kelly, and oh, that don't sound too good, but it takes amazing courage, saints, to plan every moment of your day as if it was part of God's plan. It takes a lot of risk, saints, to put your plans in line with God's plans. Let me tell you why. Because when we align our plans with God's plans, it changes how we act. Instead of being critical, now we have to offer some praise. Instead of being stingy, now we have to be generous. Instead of hanging around with those friends we know we shouldn't be hanging around of, now we got to find some friends that know God. Take some risk to change our plans and put our plans in line with God. You see, saints, how can you know your plans are in line with God? You will see that lives are changed. You will see that people are saved. You will see that you, as the church, become transformed. When your plans are in line with God, every day you wake up like, wow, God, what are you going to show me today? Wow, God, who am I going to encounter today? Wow, God, whose life am I going to see transformed today? That's a wonderful way to live every single day of our lives. You see, saints, God, and I'm not just talking about any God, God, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, the triune God, is trying to do a great work through all of us. But we are so focused on our plans. We are so focused on our plans. But it's time for us to say, step back. And we got to ask ourselves the toughest question that we would ever ask ourselves. And that question is not, what do you want to be when you grow up? That question is, what is God's plan for your life? What is God's plan for your life? Ask yourself. From the very first breath that you took on this earth until your very last breath that you will take, how does God want to work through you? You see, saints, because sometimes we think we get to a certain place in our lives. We get a certain job, a certain age, a certain house, whatever, and we think, okay, God is done with me. Oh, no. From the moment you go, breathe, until you breathe out, God is working through you. Every moment of your life. And when we ask ourselves the question, what is God's plan for our lives? It changes everything. It changes how we work through those knockdowns in life, saints. It changes how we work through the suffering. It changes our plans when we make our plans and set our goals for Christ. It changes how we look at our education. It changes our friends. It changes even how much money we want to make. Because when we align our plans with God's plan, Saint, it changes everything about our lives. Again, my favorite scripture is from Jeremiah, "For I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future." A future in eternity, not here on earth. You see, Saints, most of us, we come to church every Sunday. We make that plan. And every Sunday, just about every Sunday that we're here at Glenville, we say our purpose, right? And we don't even realize that that truly is part of the plan. If we would but change the word purpose and say, our plan is to enter into a, our plan is to be equipped for the, our plan is to make a, if we would just add the word eternity, our plan is to make a difference in the lives of others that will matter in eternity. That will matter in eternity. It will change everything that we do. You see, God's plan has always been a plan that focused on eternity. God's plan has always been a plan that focused on our salvation, us coming back from our sin toward Christ. Our, God's plan has always been to destroy Satan, Saints. But life is knocking us down and giving us some blows, and we sit back and think, now what? What am I supposed to do with this plan, Saints? What am I supposed to do? Well, Saints, you gotta come back next week. When Pastor Ray preaches that sermon, what's left? Let us pray. Gracious God, you are so good. You are so kind, so wonderful. And Lord, we don't ever understand that your plan was just not about our daily, day-to-day responsibilities, that you set us down in a bigger plan. Your awesome plan of salvation, Lord Jesus, and we thank you. We thank you, Lord, that before we even came upon this earth, you already had a plan for how to get back home to you, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that your plan included a cross, that your plan included your son dying on that cross for each and every one of us, Lord Jesus. And we thank you, Lord, that your plan will result in the victory for all of us. And we give you the praise, Lord. It's in the mighty name of Jesus Christ that we pray.